Welcome to the Infinite Scale podcast. My name is James Vickery. I'm the CEO and founder of Benchmark 365. It's great to have you listening in today. And I'm very excited that we have a special guest today. Her name is Anne Hall. Hello, Anne.
Hi, James. Great to be here.
Great to meet you. This is our first time talking, but I've been very excited about getting you on the show. Anne is the CEO and founder of IT Agree and the Agreement Lifeguard. For those that are listening and saying, what's that? Maybe you can give us a quick overview of that and then we can go from there, Anne.
Sure, absolutely. I think it's clear that MSPs are providing amazing services. In fact, most that I talk to are really passionate about the services that they provide. And so on the surface, things look great. But underneath that, a lot are concerned about business risk. And I hate to see MSPs burdened by unnecessary risk. And so we want to provide a solution whereby, you know, we're looking out for those sorts of risks and providing MSPs a pathway forward to manage risk, to navigate change, and to protect their business. And I think there are some easy steps that MSPs can take to do that. And that's really where I wanted to provide some assistance and some ideas and solutions around helping MSPs to manage their risk. I mean, a lot of them are perhaps partly because of being so passionate about providing great services, their productivity is perhaps not as high in terms of what they could be charging to customers, and that's impacting their growth, their bottom line, and in some cases, the quality of enjoyment of their business. So we're hearing a lot about that from MSPs.
And for context for everyone, so you're a lawyer, legal background. How long have you been in the legal industry and servicing the IT sector?
Sure. To give an answer to that, I need to jump you right back to 1992.
Wow.
No, living, full disclosure, I've been in this industry a long time, showing my age. But at that time, I was working with one of the big law firms here in New Zealand, one of the national law firms. And I was put onto the IT contracts for some really large projects with big clients. And of course, there weren't really IT lawyers around at the time. So it was firstly a matter of what do I need to understand here in order to write these agreements and to negotiate them with the clients and to advise on them. What's important? What are the issues? And what do we really need to focus on? And what I identified quite quickly is the number of relationships involved. So if we look at those relationships, we can quite quickly get a view on where the responsibilities and risks can lie or should lie. And I think that's a really important aspect that MSPs need to be aware of. What are the relationships? What are the roles? Because MSPs are not providing just one service usually. There's a multitude of different things going on. I then set up my own law practice called IT Law. And increasingly, I could see the need to provide services around agreements and so on to partners globally. So I went to Microsoft and I said, I'd really like to provide agreement solutions to partners around the world. And Microsoft thought that was a great idea. And I guess with that kind of reassurance that was something that Microsoft thought was good. Informally, of course, they put me straight on to Gabriella Schuster, the global partner manager at the time. And I had a in-person meeting with her. I really saw that need. I saw that partners and MSPs, perhaps in particular, were struggling with agreements. And so that's where I wanted to try and help and use my years of experience providing that one-on-one service through the law firm to provide it more broadly.
Gotcha. I remember when we started our MSP, I started effectively a break fix IT business around 2002. We eventually became an MSP. I think we didn't even start with a contract. Like, I didn't understand. And when I finally realized that we needed to have agreements in place with clients, the lawyers that I would speak to didn't really even understand IT at all. So it was a pretty generic style of contract. And then years have gone by and things have evolved. But now all I ever hear about is legal. All we ever hear from MSPs is, if you look at some of the posts on places like Reddit, MSP, you look in some of the business groups that are focused around MSP, legal seems to be every third post. What's changed?
What's changed? The awareness of the risk and the multitude of, I think, especially with cloud and reselling of cloud services, MSPs have become very conscious of what is my responsibility here? Where do I sit when there's a cyber attack, for example, through the RMM that I'm using? And how responsible am I? We see a lot of MSPs, and of course, look, for most MSPs, their customers can see they're really experienced, and there is a strong measure of trust. However, that trust in itself causes problems. If you've got some terms and conditions that you're relying on, and they're really vanilla, they don't really articulate what you're doing, then the customer isn't relying on that to understand your service commitment. They're relying on the trust. And right. that, when you think about it, what's obvious to the MSP is far from obvious to the customer. So what we need to do is break down what I call the barrier of expertise. The MSP has all the knowledge and experience, and the customer has relatively a very small amount. So what's needed is for those customers to have something that breaks down and translates for them in a way that's simple for them to see, understand, and expect as to what the service commitment is there. Yes, it's good that there's renewed appreciation, if you like. It's come to the surface more. That business risk has always been there. A lot of partners see and perhaps perceive the contract as there for the worst case scenario. The worst case scenario is if legal proceedings are issued against me. But in actual fact, there's so much that can be done from a proactive perspective to reduce business risk. And I call that really the everyday risk that goes on with revenue leakage and out of scope work being done by your team at all hours of the day and night to try and keep the customer happy. But in actual fact, it's often done at the MSP's cost in some of those situations.
It sounds like really the scope was very broad for IT in the past. It was just, except you were the IT guy or girl and you'd Mr. or Mrs. Fixit come out, everything that had an IP address or a blinking light or a hard drive, it was all your responsibility. Website, everything was your. It sounds like lawyers are now starting to help advise MSP clients. You need to be quite clear about what it is that you deliver. What is your responsibility? What's the responsibility of the customer? What's the responsibility of the vendor that you're reselling services on behalf of? Is that?
Absolutely. Yeah. And I spoke briefly before about the relationships and the role clarity there. You've got a managed service provider, of course, providing services, but in and amongst that, reselling third-party cloud services, doing project work, perhaps doing some private cloud hosting, perhaps is providing some specialist security services. If you've got one agreement that you're putting in front of your customer, the customer is left with making some assumptions and having expectations that MSP is really responsible for everything. And of course, if we can move away from that and break that down so we have more boundaries around different types of services that are being provided, matched by different agreements, articulating that, then not only you're immediately reducing your business risk, but you're also creating space for upsell opportunities. Because if the customer sees, well, I'm getting that service and that service, but I'm not getting that, then you are more easily able to push into those new opportunities with the customer and expand your business with the existing customers that you have, let alone with new customers. So an example is one partner, Nick, who came to us and he had a problem. He'd been in business 20 years. He said that a lot of the time customers just signed the agreement, no problem. But after that, that's when the problems began. And they were the kind of same old problems he was starting to see again and again, you know, the customer making requests that were actually out of scope for what Nick and his team envisaged. But meanwhile, his team is picking up and acting on those to keep the customer happy and do that work. And they thought they had mapped things out clearly, but in actual fact, to the customer, there was a lot of uncertainty. There's clear and concise in terms of, yes, it's readable language, but does it make sense? Is it meaningful to the customer? Because as soon as you've got those gray areas, then you start to get that one-sidedness in the relationship. And poor old Nick was having the old sleepless nights when his team's working late and his bottom line is not looking good. Mm. And things hit a tipping point when a customer disputed an invoice for $15,000. Yeah. So then he knew something would have to change. Otherwise, he would continue to lose out. Mm. Now, in that situation, what's needed is really a simple translation for the customer of where that service commitment is, really clearly laying that out. And so those agreements that are not really sufficiently specific to the services, that's where they don't necessarily help the MSP, you know, as well as what they might, because they're not clear and concise enough in the real areas that are needed. Once you get on top of that, you start to see the customer having a clearer understanding. The customer, the conversation turning from, I need you to do this, and the kind of expectation that it would be done within the monthly charge, to, can you help me with this? And next team understanding and being able to reply more confidently to that sort of request. So then you move from a one-sided more of a one-sided relationship to more of an evenly balanced.
I totally get it. And it's interesting, the topic of fixed fee, and it's something we talk a lot on the show and in general with our partners, is fixed fee isn't for everything. There's a habit in this industry that in order to get a client, we need to price match. Everybody else is charging $50 a user or $100 a user or $200, whatever. It's different in every market. But there's this sort of, it's created a scenario where in the client's mind, it's fixed fee. So everything is covered under this fixed price. And not every client is the same. For example, if the client isn't following absolutely everything that you want them to do. So you're their IT advisor and you say, we use this type of hardware, this type of security solution, this type of productivity solution, and that is covered by a fixed fee. But if you want to color outside the lines and do something different, there's no way that you should be entering into a fixed fee, all-encompassing agreement with that client. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, you know, whatever fixed fee you might have, whether it's per user, per device, per company, per server, however you draw that mix, if you're putting an amount that customer is paying per month, there needs to be some really clear boundaries on that. Because even if you do have an all-you-can-eat scenario, which would have to be a very big fee, there's going to be things that are totally out of your control. You know, you've got a scenario where you need to make that very clear to the customer. Because as you say, otherwise fixed fee, you're my IT company, you look after it. You're not only look after it, you're responsible for all of it. Backup, failures. I mean, it could be a failure with the actual backup service, cyber attacks. And what I often say to MSPs is, with all the third-party services, you may be reselling, you may be using them to provide your service, but ultimately, you should not be taking responsibility for that service. The vendors themselves don't take full responsibility. So why would you?
Very interesting. And it sounds like these days, it's important that your staff are aware of what's in the contract for your clients as well. I think you've used this example of Nick, and he's out and his staff are just doing all this stuff and then they're struggling to recover fees. That suggests to me that employees of MSPs are not aware that there is a limitation to the service that they provide as well. And I can think back to, in our MSP, finding out that an engineer had spent all day fixing someone's son's laptop, and the risk associated with that, losing someone's photos on an old cellular phone, even though it wasn't covered by the contract, but all of a sudden you're getting the complaint as the MSP business owner that this person's done something.
It's a very good point. And whilst we don't want people to be picking up the contract all of the time, it's really important that the way that the team's operating is consistent with what's been agreed. The two things need to sit together. You can't have, here's the way we operate and here's our agreement, being at odds with each other. And I saw this over the years, time and time again, where we might have been involved in helping to negotiate what would seem like great agreements for the project at hand. And I recall one where 6 months later, the partner calling us and saying, we've got a real problem here. Our project is already $200,000 over budget. And it's because the customer already had been delayed and requiring now that the project still be completed within the same timeframe. Right. Now, so you look at the agreement that had been negotiated, and a lot of effort had gone into a number of the clauses. It's a big contract, but one was about delay. And it was, if there is delay by the customer, you will still be required to meet the price and the budget unless you tell us promptly when that delay starts to occur. So there was a process in there, but it was not used. Right. And so you're absolutely spot on that not everybody in the whole business needs to know what's in the agreements, and also not all of what's in the agreement, but people receiving customer requests for services to be provided need to, the processes and so on that they're using need to reflect, be consistent with what has been agreed, and to know when to call things out as additional and so on. So yeah, it's getting that in sync that's really important. I call that making agreement-driven decisions.
Right.
Yeah, right. Absolutely important.
But it sounds to me then that MSPs need to really consider the organization chart in their business. And most MSPs are born out of being technical. So there's an owner and there's some techs. That's, we encounter thousands of MSPs at Benchmark, talk to them, and usually that's what the structure looks like. But with the stuff that you're talking about, it sounds like there needs to be far more management overseeing what people are doing each day to ensure that it's adhering to the company policies, the terms and conditions. So it sounds like a shift in the way that professional services are delivered by MSPs.
Yeah, you don't really want to have your techs just operating. And of course, they want to look after the customer, of course, but it's the basis on which they're looking after the customer and what they should be responsible, what they are responsible for under the contract, what they are responsible for within the monthly fee and so on. So it's not don't do the work. It's what is the basis on which you're doing this work, and be really clear about that so that the people who are receiving the requests are very clear and confident about that themselves.
The elephant in the room is cybersecurity. It's fascinating to see how rapidly MSPs are trying to adapt to the threat, particularly over the last few years with COVID. There's been far more cyber attacks, malware incidents, regulatory issues as a result of breaches. And I find it so interesting because if you think of cybersecurity and when an event happens, it's a break and enter, right? Some criminal has broken into a company, bypassed whatever security protocols are in place and stolen data or done damage to that business. If you look out in the real world and there's a break and enter, you don't call up the alarm company and say your alarm didn't work, because the alarm may well have worked, but the break and enter still occurred. Yet in IT, it seems like the customer immediately points the finger at the IT provider and says, that's your fault. You should have stopped that from happening.
Yes.
How can MSPs adapt to this rapidly changing environment and somewhat unreasonable expectation, I think, in some cases, that they can actually prevent a highly sophisticated Russian cyber attack or a state-sponsored attack on a client's business?
Look, you raise a really good point, and kind of the analogy with the house and the break-in and the alarm company. Having a business of whatever sort, you're going to be reliant on technology, and in itself, there's risks. Now, you bring in an IT company to help you look after your environment and so on. You can't then get all of that risk and say, I've hired an IT company, so all of that risk of me being in business now goes onto that IT company. And it's that kind of a understanding between the MSP and the customer, and perhaps more for the customer to understand where is it appropriate for that risk to sit, and to for them to appreciate that it's not appropriate to expect the IT company to take on board all of that risk. Now, if you've got agreements that reflect, that's great, but it's also a change in thinking and a kind of a little bit of an educational process between the MSP and the customer. I've worked with people who are security specialists. That's all they do. And we've developed agreements for provision of security services with their input and so on. Now, they will say, we will never guarantee security. Even people who that's all they do, they're not going to guarantee security. And so an MSP who may be providing certain services, but may not be a security specialist, they may be providing some endpoint protection and so on. Why on earth would they then suddenly be responsible for the security of that business that they're looking after? They're providing some services. So we need to be really clear about some of these things, of course. And what I mentioned before about role clarity helps to really break that down, in the sense that here you are, for example, reselling a third-party service. In that role, you're an intermediary. You're not taking responsibility, and you should not be taking responsibility for the full functioning, performance, availability of that service, and indeed any cyber attacks that might impact it. So it's about looking at what you can and should be responsible for, and how you agree, educate your customers around that and agree accordingly with them. You know, what I said before, going back to the 90s and the responsibilities, and if you look at the relationships, who are all the players involved in this mix? It's not just the MSP and the customer. There's a number of other players involved. We call those third parties. Right. And where should the responsibilities and risks fall? And that's what you really want to reflect into your agreements.
I know some of our listeners are keen just to understand at a high level, what are some clauses? You don't have to speak them in legal language, but what are some things that are just a must have in any managed service agreement today?
I think the structure of the agreement is really important, because a lot of people come to us and they probably perceive that contract is for the worst case scenario. But there's a lot we can do to reduce risk proactively, not only with plain English. And by plain English, there's a couple of aspects: not legalese and not technical jargon. So the education piece that I mentioned earlier is much better assisted if you're using plain English. And alongside that, laying out the agreement in a way that, you know, it's not good enough to say customers just signed, which is great. The salespeople are happy because the contract's been signed. That's not good enough. That was the problem with Nick. where the contract's signed, but the problems are starting after that. What needs to be in it is, where are the elements of your service commitment, beginning and ending? Where are the out of scope sections that the customer needs to be aware of? What happens with recommendations that the customer doesn't take up? What happens with cyber attacks? What happens with things that are out of your control? So all of these things come into the mix, but have to be really structured in a way that makes it easy for the customer to absorb. Remember, I talked about the barrier of expertise. If you're going to fill your agreement with technical jargon,
right,
you might well have a contract that's enforceable, but on a day-to-day basis, when that customer calls with an out-of-scope request, have you really got an agreement that helps the customer to understand you're not actually responsible for that? Because that's the heat of the moment. Your guy who's taking that call needs to be confident in how they're going to reply to that request.
Gotcha. So tell us a little bit more about what your business does, Anne.
Oh, okay. So IT Agree helps MSPs with agreements with a focus on business risk, revenue leakage, and also the ability to create additional upsell opportunities by putting boundaries around the different services. Now, you know, I wanted to bring a solution to partners and MSPs in particular around being able to get the very specific types of agreements that are needed and get them cost effectively, quickly, and without a whole lot of complexity. Because I think there's a nervousness, oh, legal agreements, they really dislike legal agreements. And so I really wanted to break that down and make it easier for MSPs to deal with agreements and have the confidence to deal with them. Because an agreement shouldn't be something that is full of mystique that nobody can understand. It's your agreement with the customer. So it needs to be something that not only the MSP can easily understand and use, but also really importantly, that when your customer gets that agreement, they don't feel, oh, legal agreement, I need to park this or I need to send this to my lawyer. You want to have it so that they can easily agree and read and agree as well.
Got it.
So that's where we help with it. As I said before, I just hate seeing MSPs burdened with unnecessary risk. Right. I want to help them to navigate through that and navigate through change, like the NCE changes, and feel that the risk is not something that is they need to simply accept as part of being an MSP. There are ways through that, and there are ways that you can certainly really quickly reduce your risk.
Gotcha. Now, you mentioned that you're based in New Zealand. Do you mm-hmm. operate your services worldwide? Is there particular markets that you're able to provide your services into?
Sure, yes. So I am in New Zealand, I'm in Auckland, but we are working with MSPs not only in New Zealand and Australia, but also in the US and Canada, in the UK, and we've just launched into several European countries as well. Some people might wonder, how can you do that as a lawyer in New Zealand? And I should add that IT Agree itself is not a law firm. We're providing agreements by subscription, and we provide a lot of guidance around that. But we work with lawyers in different countries to make the changes, and there aren't huge changes. Importantly, for Australia, for example, we've got a different version, for example, than for New Zealand. It's only different to the extent that it needs to be different for what's relevant in Australia.
Makes sense. And how do people get in touch with you, Anne?
All right. So the best way to get in touch with me is via our site, itagree.com, and there's an option there to schedule a call. We've also got a nice little 8-point checklist that your audience is welcome to access, and that's at itagree.com/checklist.
Awesome. Very good. Some great info in there, Anne. Thanks for coming on the show.
Oh, you're very welcome. Thank you for having me.
And thanks everyone for listening in today, and hope to see you again soon.
Thanks for joining us. If you'd like to get your own copy of Infinite Scale, just go to benchmark365.com. And if you have any comments, feedback, or suggestions for future podcast episodes, just drop us a line at hello@benchmark365.com. Thanks for listening.